I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. Cap and trade is an idea that's struggling to get traction among American politicians. Many environmentalists here are pushing it as a way to cut global warming pollution, and they've been looking to Europe as a possible model. 5 years ago, the European Union set up the world's largest cap and trade system for greenhouse gases. But as The World's Jerry Haddon reports, the EU's carbon market is still very much a work in progress.
Pollution is free, at least it always was until recently. That's why companies generally haven't cared how much of it they produce, and that's why many governments are now trying to put a price on it. The idea in this case is to make greenhouse gas emissions expensive, says European Union Energy Commissioner Andres Pielbags.
It's very important that the carbon has a price. So as a result, whatever the investment decision is taken is based on the perception of what will be carbon price in the future and how much it will affect my business.
That's where cap and trade comes in. It sets caps on how much carbon dioxide big companies can emit and then issues them annual emissions permits based on those amounts. If a company exceeds its cap, it has to buy more permits from other companies. If it cuts back its pollution, it gets to sell its excess permits to dirtier enterprises. Over time, the number of permits is to be reduced, thus driving their value up. It sounds logical. And the idea has already worked well in the U.S. to reduce acid rain pollution. But Europe's cap-and-trade system has had problems right from the start. First, the EU's governments issued too many permits, causing prices to collapse. Polluting didn't get more expensive, so it didn't go down much either. Also, companies got their permits for free, and the allocations were based on previous emissions levels. That angers climate activists like Annie Leonard.
The more they've been polluting, the more they get. It's like we're thanking them for creating this problem in the first place.
Leonard has made an online movie urging Americans to oppose what she calls cap and giveaway. Many other Greens support cap and trade, but its fate in the U.S. is very much uncertain. The U.S. House of Representatives has passed a cap and trade bill, but its prospects are fading in the Senate. Meanwhile, backers everywhere are watching as the EU tries to iron out the kinks. To start with, says European Commission Vice President Margot Wallström, Europe will issue fewer annual permits, and those permits will be auctioned off instead of given away.
We knew that this was a learning by doing, the first period of emissions trading. Now we have seen also the opportunity to strengthen it, to sort of put a much stricter cap and to improve the functioning of it.
Today, stricter controls have stabilized the price of carbon permits. Earlier this week, it cost about $18 to emit a metric ton of carbon. That's up from less than $1 in 2007, but still far below what analysts think is necessary to really affect emissions. Critics of the EU system also point to a mechanism that lets companies avoid having to buy more pollution permits altogether by investing in green projects in the developing world. For example, the Spanish energy giant Endesa has over $1 billion invested in projects from Brazil to China, says Endesa's Jesús Abaria. He says it doesn't matter where you cut greenhouse gases because they're contaminating the whole planet. In our case, it's cheaper for us to invest in clean energy in China than, say, to buy extra pollution permits from Germany. But critic Annie Leonard says carbon offsets allow European companies to avoid actually reducing pollution. Perhaps more importantly, she argues in her film, it creates a sort of carbon shell game.
Like in Indonesia, Sinar Mas Corporation cut down indigenous forests, causing major ecological and cultural destruction. Then they took the wasteland they created and planted palm oil trees. Guess what they can get for it? Yep, offset permits.
Even supporters say the holes in the system must be plugged. Dutch economics minister Maria van der Hoeven says the solution is to get everybody on the cap-and-trade bandwagon.
It is really necessary to have a global-wide cap-and-trade system because if you don't have a global system, then the problem of carbon leakage is there and also the problem that companies, for instance, choose to go abroad.
But the prospect of that happening anytime soon is remote. The failure of last month's UN climate summit in Copenhagen to agree on common carbon reduction goals undermined hopes that the agency could take on the task of overseeing carbon offset projects. And the election last week of Republican Scott Brown to replace the late Democratic Senator Ted Kennedy helped shift the momentum in Washington sharply away from adopting a cap-and-trade system in the U.S. For The World, I'm Jerry Haddon.